We begin Beis Hashem, the third Perek of Psachim, Perek Elu Ovrim, here on Daf Mem Beis. And by way of introduction, how do you translate Elu Ovrim? Here we have Machlokes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi says that the subject of this first Mishnah is the Iser Shehias Chametz, holding on and possessing chametz. And Rabbeinu Tam learns that Elu Ovrim doesn't mean a violation. Elu Ovrim means take it off the table because we're afraid you might come to eat it. According to Rashi, which is the interpretation that we're going to take for most of the Shia today, Elu Ovrim means Bal Yiroa, Bal Yimotze. There are two separate lavim for Shehias Chametz, for owning chametz. And in addition, there's an essay of Tashbisu of Bir Chametz. In fact, let me just quote to you the Ran. The Ran says that Elu Ovrim, Pirish Loshen Ovrim, Hainu Shem Mizbarim Min HaOlam. Ovrim means that it should be taken out of the world. Reflecting, of course, the interpretation of Rashi, that the subject of this Mishnah is the following enumerated items that have chametz in it have to be gotten rid of. They cannot remain in your possession. Now, why does Rabbeinu Tam reject Rashi? If you take a look at Tosfos Divrei Maskil V'Elu, Ein Nira L'Rabbeinu Tam, D'Mashma D'Kol Hanach Marbina Mikol Machmetzes Lo Sochelu, V'Afilu B'Achila Lo Machayev Ilav D'Ribuyi D'Kro. Rabbeinu Tam points out that there's a separate ribuy that the Gemara is going to establish, Kol Machmetzes, to include the cases and the categories of chametz that are enumerated in this Mishnah. And that's as far as achila is concerned, and that's already a ribui that would not be understood without a derivation. So as far as Bal Yiroa Bal Yimotze is concerned, we don't have a derivation. And therefore, in these cases of secondary chametz, so to speak, where we have a ribui to include them in Lo Socheilu, we don't have a ribui to include them in Bal Yiroa Bal Yimotze. And therefore, you would not be in violation of Ayurabai Motze in any of these enumerated cases in the Mishnah. Therefore, Nero Lebeinu Tam, the Elu Ovrim Pirish Ha'ochlin, the Ovrim Hainu Me'al HaShulchan, the Lav B'nei Mechel Ninu, Aval Bayro Lech. The subject, according to Rabbeinu Tam, of that Mishnah is Achila. These are Achila. Ovrim should be interpreted as take it off the table because you're enjoined from eating these. And all these categories will be derived from a special Yalfusa. Tosfos here, Rabbeinu Tam mentions, Kol Machmetzes Lo Sochel. Let's go through the list, and we'll see, as we go through the list, that we have seven cases listed in the Mishnah, but we can categorize them into two different categories. The Mishnah says, Elu Ovrim B'Pesach, Kusach HaBavli, Shecher HaModi, Chometz HaDomi, Zesum, or Zisum HaMitzri, Zomon Shal Tzaboen, Amilon Shal Tabochim, Kolon Shal Sofrim, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Af Tachshitei Noshim. Now, following this long list, and we'll have to see if Rabbi Eliezer is disagreeing with the Chachamim and adding something which the Chachamim don't recognize as being prohibited, namely Tachshite Noshim, the Mishnah then formulates a klal, Hareze Over B'Pesach, Hareu B'Azhor V'Ein Bohem Mishum Karis. Anything on this list has min dagon, it has grain, it has chametz in it, and therefore Hareu B'Azhor, it's included in a lav do raisa, which again, according to Rashi, means Bal Yiroa Bal Yimotze, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Kol Machmetzes Lo Socheilu. But although there's a lav, there's no karis. And one would wonder, according to Rashi, why would the Mishnah bother mentioning that there's no karis? Because according to Rashi, we're dealing with Shehias Chametz, which never, even in the case of real, bona fide Chametz government, does not generate any sukaris. But in any event, so let's go through first the four cases at the beginning, which are identified by district, so to speak, by country or by nationality, and they form a unit, and then we go on to different kinds of umnus, different kinds of chametz mixtures that are used in a professional context. So the first four we have the following. We have Kusach HaBavli, Shechar HaMadi, Chometz HaDomi, and Zisum HaMitzri. According to the text that I have, it should be read Zesum HaMitzri. Now, let's go through the Brisa, because when we read the Mishnah itself, we really don't have a clear concept of what these items are. The Gemara actually reveals that to us. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in the Brisa, Shlosha Dvarim Nemarim B'Kutach HaBavli. There are three negative, from a medicinal point of view, dimensions and harm that one could be harmed from eating Kutach HaBavli. And by way of understanding A, B, and C, all these dimensions that are antithetical to one's health, we'll get an idea of what's inside and what are the ingredients of a Kutach HaBavli. Number one, Metamtem es halev, it's not healthy for the heart. It actually causes, I guess you'd call it high cholesterol, or something that clogs up the heart. Number two, Misame es hainayim, it's not healthy for the eyes. And number three, Machish es haguf, it generally weakens the body. And now the Gemara explains which ingredients in Kutach HaBavli will generate those three harms. Number one, Metamtei Salei Mishum Nisyuve Dechalba. A certain extract from milk, we call it the whey of the milk, W-H-E-Y, is detrimental to the heart. Umesame Yisanayim Mishum Milcha. Salt is not healthy for the eye if you have too much salt. Again, all these, or if you eat them in extreme, but in any event, we see that two of the ingredients in Kutach HaBavli include the whey of milk, and number two, salt. And what's the third? Umachesh Zaguf Mishum Kumanisa Di Uma, which means that there is molded bread, what we call Pas Me'upash, and when the bread begins to mold, they add it together in this mixture with a kind of a milchika and salty dip. It's really a dip that comes, or shall we say, is very popular in Bava. Now, obviously, we're talking about what we call chametz al yedei tarovis. There's a mixture of chametz in Kutach HaBavli. And we're going to see the same thing with regard to the second item on this list, which is Shechar HaMadi, literally translated as beer. There are different ways you make beer. You can make beer from dates. You can make beer from barley. Barley, obviously, is a serious chametz problem. And in Madai, they had something called Shechar HaMadi. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa, Shlosha Dvarim Marbim HaZevel. There are three kinds of food that increase a person's weight, waste. In other words, the excrements that he has to go. The Kofen HaSakoma. And they cause a bent over posture. And Notlim echad mechabesh meos mima'or einav shel adam. They are detrimental for one's eyesight. They diminish one's eyesight by 1 over 500. And elu hein. Here is the list. Number one, pas kibar. Pas kibar is a bread that is made without refined flour, but rather flour that is full of bran. He calls it kemach sheino naki. It's not refined. Shechar Chadash, freshly made beer, the Yerek Chai, and fresh vegetables, uncooked. And again, the Mefarshim say that vegetables are okay for you, but if you eat them in excess, they cause those three difficulties that we mentioned before. And that's what we have in the second brayso. And now the Gemara quotes a third brayso that deals again with health issues as far as food. Tanur Rabbana, we learned in a brayso. Shlosha Dvarim, there are three items, three foodstuffs that have the opposite effect. And in this sense, they are very healthy. Mimatim Es HaZevel. So you'll have, I guess you'd say, normal bowel movements. Zokfin es hakoma. And they'll give you a straight posture. Umeirim es hainayim. And they improve your eyesight. Vieluhein pas nekia, refined bread. Basar shamein, fatty meat. Viyayin yashar. And older wine, vintage wine, as we would call it. Now, we could add the following, that the raw vegetables, Rashi points out, that if you eat it too frequently in large quantities, are unhealthy, include leek, onions, and radishes. Okay, these are the three vegetables that Rashi singles out, about which the Brisa said all those three things that are negative. Now we turn to Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis. Now, we said that one of the healthy things that invigorate you and improve your eyesight and your posture, pas nekia, refined bread. And the Gemara now explains that what is pas nekia? Dismida. Dismida means that this bread is made from fine flour, otherwise known in Hebrew as solas. Basar shamein, ditzfirta delo iftach. It is the meat of a young female Iza is a female goat, and shalo yolda. Delo iftach means that the goat never gave birth. And yayin yoshen hainu atik atike. It's got to be very old wine, at least 3 years old, Rashi says. Yoshan shel shalosh shanim. Now, as far as the eis shelo yolda is concerned, yesh misha omer, I have a note here, she tzfirti delo iftach heim tziporim Shmenos, shelo yoldu, not goats, but rather birds. So that's another interpretation of this category. Now the Gemara makes a general statement with regard to the health of one's diet. Komili demali lahai, kosha lahai. We should be very careful because those foodstuffs that help for a particular part of the body, it adds and enhances one's health. Kosher lahai, they're bad. They're detrimental to another organ in the body. So, for example, you could have something that's good for the heart, but it's not good for the eyes. With the kosher lahai, mali lahai, it could be bad and be detrimental for one aver, but it's very healthy for another aver. But the exception is, and here we have a list of foodstuffs that are good for the entire body. This is a win-win situation without any loss. And he's got here Zangibila retiva. Retiva means wet or moist. Zangibil. And some people would translate Zangibil as ginger. So we're talking about fresh ginger. And it's still moist. Pilpile arichta, which are long pilpilim. Pilpilim are peppers. Upasnikia. Interesting. Today, you know, a lot of people are in favor of bran bread. You know, that's supposed to be, you know, seven grain bread. But here, the Gemara seems to advocate what we call pasnikia, refined bread, you know, white flour. And with regard to these categories of ginger and peppers and fine flour and old wine, vintage wine, 3 years old, and then you have the Iza, the goat that never gave birth, is Miley Lakula Gufa. It's healthy for the entire body. Now we go on from Kuta Chababli to Shechar Amod. The Gemara wants to understand what are the ingredients that go into Shechar Hamadi, and therefore it's also to keep it in your house over Pesach. The Gemara says, Deramu Bei Siari, because it's made of barley water. And at the time of the Mishnah, generally speaking, in most countries, the available beer was made of dates. However, in Madai, they made it from barley. Today, as you know, our beers are made of barley. And therefore, there's going to be an Iser of Bali Ro, Bali Motzi. Now what they did was, apparently they took barley, they soaked it in water, and they used it to make this Shechar Amodai. Fine. Now, we have here in the Mishnah Yayin, we have Chometz Adomi. So we're going to have to figure out Chometz Adomi. It's a kind of a vinegar that comes from Edom. And what's that all about? So the Gemara now quotes a memra of Rav Nachman. Om Rav Nachman b'tchila, this is a fascinating Gemara, almost an agadah, about the difference between the wine that was produced in Eretz Yisrael before the destruction, when the Migdash was standing, and after the destruction. Amar Rav Nachman, b'tchila, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, kishahayu mevi'im yayin l'nesachim mi Eretz Yehuda, right, Eretz Yisrael was divided into three districts, and when they brought the wine from Eretz Yehuda, Lohaya Yenam Shal Yehuda Machmitz. The wine was of such a superior quality during that period of time that it was designated for the Nesachim because it didn't become Chametz. That's what was going on during the time that the Migdash stood. Now, the Nesachim were made for the Ola, Karban Ola and the Karban Shlomim, and they were taken from grapes that were grown, as we said before, to Eretz Yehuda, and not from Eretz Galil, from the north. And as a result of the fact that the wines in Yehuda was of such superior quality, it was a great source for Nesachim. They had a superior flavor, and therefore they didn't turn sour or vinegary unless you added barley to the barley is a fermenting agent. So if it's pure wine, as we said at the time of the Mikdash, this was wine that was pressed from grapes that were grown in Yehuda, then these were, number one of us, the superior quality. And with the passage of time, they only got better and better. They improved, but they did not become vinegar. And we're going to soon see what happened after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Gemara says the following. Lo haya yenam shel Yehuda machmitz ad she nosnim utochan siorim. Only when they added barley into the wine, the barley, as we said before, was a very powerful fermenting agent. And vayikor noso chometz stam. They used the term chometz, which means vinegar, that was produced by adding siorin into the wine. So wine itself, at that time in history, when the Mikdash stood, was not vinegar. It didn't become vinegar on our own. You could create vinegar out of the wine if you wanted to by adding barley. The Achsha, but now after the destruction of the Mikdash, Ein Yenom Shaladomim Machmitz Ad Shenosnim L'Tochan Siorim. The exact description that we gave to the Yayin of Eretz Yisrael, of Yehuda, now that description fits for the Yayin that comes from Edom. Because when the Jews are up, Edom is down. When Edom is up, the Jews are down. This can be derived from Yaakov and Esau. So that now the situation after the Mikdash is that the wine of Edom is of a superior quality. And it will not become chometz, it will not become vinegar unless you add barley as a fermenting agent. The Koran also chometz adomi. And that's going to be our Mishnah, chometz adomi, which means that they added barley. If they didn't add barley, it wouldn't have become chometz. So by definition, chometz in Edom after the Mikdash was destroyed must be barley chometz. And this is L'kayim Asher Nemar. The Gemara here quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel, in which Yechezkel indicates that there is this inverse relationship. And it says, Imola Hecharova, to fulfill, I will be filled from the desolate one. Imola zu charvazu. Imola zu charvazu. As we said before, when one is up, one is down. One is full, the other is desolate. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Yochi offers an alternative source for this. La'om il'om yamatz. This, of course, when Rivka is suffering during her pregnancy, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells her through a nevuah she's going to have two twins, Yaakov and Esav, and they will be great nations, but they'll alternate in terms of their ascendancy. One will be up, the other will be down. Tanya, we learned in a brisa about the quality of wine in Eretz Yisrael and how it was diminished after the Churban. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, the Yehuda b'rishona lokeach chometz mi'ama oretz, eino tzorech li aser. Initially, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, if you bought vinegar from an ama oretz, there was no need for maser. And the reason for that is because maser is only obligatory from two liquids, meaning two fruit juices, and that's zesim va'anovin. So you and I would think, well, if you buy vinegar, then maybe that's vinegar made from wine, where you added barley to the wine. And if that be the case, if it's wine, then you certainly need to be mafrish maser. And we don't rely on Amoritz. He may be an Orthodox Jew, but he's not meticulous about Masros. That's why we have the old institution of Tamai. And the Gemara explains, or the Brisa itself actually, Mipnei Shechazoka Eina Ela Min Ha Temed. We can assume that this vinegar is not wine vinegar, because again, the wine was of such a superior quality. It was designated for Migdash, for Nesachim. It was not used to make vinegar. They used temed to make vinegar. Temed is they took the sediments of the wine and they soaked them, and they ended up with a kind of watery substance that would eventually become vinegar. And therefore now, Achshav, now that the wine has diminished in its quality, it's no longer high quality wine that it once was during the Migdash time. Now they would add barley into the wine and they would make it into chometz. It would become vinegar. Now if you buy that mixture from a guy, if you buy that mixture from an Amoretz, then you have to assume that he was not careful about being mafresh maser, and now it's made of wine. If it's made of wine, that's one of the, as we said before, the two liquids in addition to the five species of grains that generate a chiyuv maser. So what we have here in this brisa is that when you buy chometz, vinegar, from an amaretz before the destruction of the Mikdash, then since it's made of temed, which, as we said before, is made of the sediments as you soak them, that's not real wine, and they're not chayav in trumas or maisus. So you're not obligated as you normally would be when you buy something from an Abba Oretz to be mafresh maser. And the Gemara says, "V'sav Rav Yehuda temed lav bar isurehu." Are you really going to find Rabbi Yehuda consistently maintaining the position that temed is not considered yayin, and therefore it doesn't generate a chiyuv of maser? For Tanya, how are you going to square with the following brisa? Hametamed, if you make temed, so you take the sediments of the grapes, the residue of the grapes, you soak them in water, nosan mayim b'midah. If, let's say, you measure out exactly how much water you put into this residue of grapes, umatza kedei midaso, and after the water absorbs the taste of this residue, you find that it is exactly the same measure that you started with, is your potter, according to Tanakama, of this Mishnah that we're quoting. This is a Mishnah in the fifth parak of Masros. Your potter. And the reason why your potter is because if the volume of liquid has not increased, then you have every reason to believe that the temed has not absorbed any droplets of wine from the residue. In other words, the residue of wine has part wine and part just the taste of wine. So the Tanakhama of this brisa, before we get to Rabbi Yehuda, maintains that mehechatesi, that the water absorbed some of the wine itself. All it got from the wine, from the residue of the wine, was only its color and its taste, but nothing substantial. Haraya, you measure the midah, and it's exactly the same as what you put it in. The water, which is now absorbed with, you know, it's changed its color, and it has the color of wine, and it's changed its taste, it has the taste of the wine, but it's still the same exact volume of water that you put in originally. So obviously it did not absorb any of the flesh of the grapes themselves. And this Tanakhama is of the opinion that if all you have is the taste of wine, or the color of wine, that's not enough to generate a chiyuv maser. Rabbi Yehuda Machayev. The Brisa now quotes the dissenting view of Rabbi Yehuda. And he says, you're chayev to be mafrish, maser from temet. And apparently, Rabbi Yehuda is maintaining that since the temet looks and tastes like wine, it has the status of wine, and therefore you're chayev in maser.
So Gemara answers, Hachi Kamar.
Lo nechshedu ame ha'aretz al ha'temet. The Gemara offers one answer, that the brisa that says that if you buy chomet, you buy vinegar from ame ha'aretz, and this is before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, then you don't have to be mafresh maser. And the reason for this is because why would the Am HaAretz be hesitant? In other words, we can assume that he went ahead and he was mafresh it, because in this case he doesn't lose much. Right, as we said before, during the time of the Mikdash, all the good quality, high quality yayin was preserved as yayin. And what they would use to make temed, to make a vinegar substance, was second class wine. And therefore, we can assume that the Am HaAretz was not in any way inhibited or hesitant about being mafresh on something that's so secondary and expensive. However, Rabbi Yehuda Machayev in the second brisa, that's after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because from that point on, they would make chometz by adding, as we said before, the barley into the wine itself, and that was a fermenting agent that made chometz. The chometz is therefore coming from wine. Ibois Ema. The Gemara offers another reconciliation of these two seemingly contradictory statements of Rabbi Yehuda. Nechshedu. We are afraid that the Am HaAretz will be laid back about being mafresh maaser v'lo kasha. Why? Ha bidravka and ha bidapurtzene. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is addressing a case and requires hafroshas maaser when you buy this temed from an Am HaAretz. The temed is made from that part of the grapes that we can assume will get absorbed into the water, the grapes themselves. And that's called bidaravka. Let me read to you the translations in both Hebrew and in English of bidaravka. He says, bidaravka, Chayavli aser mishum she ma'urav bo mehayayin mishum shatemed nes nasa mishimre yayin shmore yayin ubolea bashmorim. It's already like absorbed into the shmorim, and therefore it has actual yayin in it with a tarovus of yayin, and therefore it generates a chiyuv mas. But the brisa that says in the name of Yehudi apartah from hafroshes Trumas of Mises from Temed, that's a case of Temed that's made from Chartzanim. And all it has really is a little bit of that flavor of the Yayin, but it doesn't have any of the mamoshes of the Yayin. And reading that in the English translation, he says that in the first case, the Temed is made from Lees, L-E-E-S, and therefore contains actual wine. And he says that adding water to the lees that collect at the bottom of the wine barrel contains actual droplets of wine that were in the lees, as opposed to the brisa of Rabbi Yehuda, that's a case of temet that's made from grape seeds. And in the case of grape seeds, as we said before, all you have is simply not actual wine, but rather the flavor of the grape seed, perhaps the color of the grape seed, and that's all you have.